Welcome to another one of our podcasts, and I want to thank you once again for giving me some time to listen to this and basically consider the propositions that are available to us through our blessed Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it is Him that we're meditating on, a kind of a series that I've kind of put together on abiding in the vine of the branches idea, and understanding that Christianity does not present itself as a one-and-done type situation. It's not about, well, I went to church one time, said a sinner's prayer, and I'm saved forever. That ideology of being once saved, always saved, is kind of not what the scriptures are talking about in any sense of how faith works and how we live our lives as believers in Christ. A lot of that is a false misunderstanding. Because if we look at John chapter 15 and we see that Jesus talks about us being a vine on a branch, he basically is talking about us, a way of us of understanding who He is. It's kind of that next step beyond just coming unto Him and following Him. It's that following Him part that is about the rest of our lives from that moment forward. And this is something that I really want to get into your mind today and to really help you firmly get. And throughout the rest of this conversation series that I'm going to be doing over probably the next couple weeks, as we kind of interspread it with the various readings on Sundays and throughout, to kind of get a little variety. But I do want this to be kind of the main thing, that when you come to this understanding of who we are as Christians, it's more than just what we do at one moment or time. Whether it be every Sunday at church, whether you go to a Protestant service or a Catholic service, it's not about those one and done moments. It's about every moment of your life. It's about staying with Him, not leaving Him to go do other things. And that's kind of the importance here. In fact, when we kind of look at the parable of the true vine, the one thing we want to see is what's kind of pointed out in the very first verse of chapter 15, that Jesus declares that He is the true vine. What we see in these simple words is that He offers us a privilege of actual union with Him. It's something that many people don't totally understand about Christianity, and it's why they kind of miss the boat sometimes when we talk about how grace works and operates in our lives. And they kind of redefine different parts of this by focusing on, as many Protestants have done in the past, the anointing. Oh, the anointing. It's like it's some other thing. Or when you go into Protestant circles where they speak in other tongues, where they talk about a baptism of the Holy Spirit as being something subsequent or secondary to making the confession of faith. It's not about that. Christianity is about how you live your life every moment of every day. In fact, if you look at what the Pentecostal experience truly is from Scripture, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, verse 4, it talks about how the apostles spoke as they were given the ability to utter these languages by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it's a reminder of what Paul writes in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where he says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Basically, if you're a child of God, you're experiencing this continual leading that comes from a true fellowship, a true relationship with Jesus. It's not just a religion that is about do's and don'ts and this and that's. It's about how you live and how you are in a relationship every moment with God. And this is why it's so important for us to really get that Christianity is a relationship. It is a relationship that does have things that you do and don't do, because every relationship does. A husband and wife have a specific relationship that if one of them goes off and strays, it's adultery. It's a do and don't in a relationship that allows the relationship to go on. When you're just dealing with other people, you don't want to covet your neighbor's wife or things, or even steal from them, because that ruins the relationship. That ruins the fellowship that you have. They can't trust you with being in their house or around their stuff, because you're going to want to take it from them instead of letting them be as generous as they possibly can and accepting that. A lot of times we look for great grand blessings from other people, and they give us, in our mind's eye, chump change. But $100 from a poor man is like $5,000 from a rich man. It's not the size of the blessing, it's the size of the relationship that you have with the individual. And this is where God, the great I Am, is saying, hey, I'm the vine. You can do nothing without me, but with me you can do everything. And this is where we need to get a new idea of what Christianity is. We need to get this new focus on this idea that it's the Almighty God Himself that is our Savior. It's not just some man who lived a sinless life. It's about realizing that Jesus, who was incarnate, is wanting to unite Himself with us as a spouse and unite ourselves in such a way that we become one, that we're not just individuals running off trying to do things on our own with our own identities and our own whatevers. We're supposed to be branches on the vine. And as long as we're able to keep this in front of us and really understand that the Almighty God, who withholds the entire universe and keeps it together without letting it fall into chaos, He's also seeking to renew us in our fallen natures by grafting us into His own divine nature in a real way. It's the mystery of what Christ is incarnate, that our human natures don't become divine any more than His human nature became divine. This is something that was defined by the church many years ago in understanding. It's about how the divine nature is the sap that gives us the ability to do above anything we can ever ask or think, and to experience blessing above what we're ever able to ask or think. And it's why the scripture says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned for those of us who love Him and are called according to His purposes, because all things work together for good. It's not that all things are good, but that God is so great that even the wickedness that happens in your life, even the down moments that happen in your life, even the bad things that happen in your life, have a redemptive purpose when you're plugged into Him. When you're looking to Him to walk on the water instead of looking at the surrounding circumstances and realizing, whoa, I'm out on water? What, there's a storm around me? This is too much. No, He is with you. In fact, a lot of times we get mad at God because He doesn't seem to be active when we're going through the storms of life. And we try to wake Him like He's asleep on the boat. And when He gets up and He commands the seas to be calm and the storm to chill out, He kind of turns to us and He goes, why are you of little faith? I told you to go to the other side, like He told the apostles one time. Get in His boat, go to the other side. Then He went and went to sleep in the back of the boat. And everybody got upset. These great fishermen who were out on the boat many times were afraid they were going to die. And they went back, they woke Jesus up and they said, hey, Jesus, you know, we're about to die. Don't you care? And He does care. But He was there and He's trying to teach us the lesson of abiding in those moments. In fact, as soon as we're able to truly grasp this reality of Him being the vine and us being the branches, to truly realize that the deity that is known to us in the incarnate person of Jesus Christ is the one who calls us and longs for us to have this exceeding sweetness, as it were, this unique blessing of being united to Him in a relationship that's deeper than any situation can ever be, that we truly realize what great privilege it is to be a true Christian. We stop looking at our own identities and the things that make us happy temporarily. Whatever sin it is, whether it's a sexual sin, whether it's a sin of desire, whether it's a sin of money or anything else. Covetousness is wicked and prevents us from this. But if we truly understand it and we grasp it, this is where the true blessing of God comes in. And it's being able to understand that the results come to us when we truly have this relationship, a relationship of close personal union with the Lord, in the sense that a husband has a relationship with his wife. It's not about him having a man cave anymore. It's about him having a wife who supports and helps and serves him just as much as he supports, serves, and protects her. That's the beauty of it. That's the relationship that God wants us to truly understand that's possible in the scriptures and by the scriptures and everything that he does for us. In fact, if we truly believe in this union, we won't see anything that Christianity tells us is there as being something out of reach. We see that his words are meant to be living for an eternity. It's something that carries us through every day. And in fact, a lot of people have problems with this because they don't understand how faith works out everything from this abiding in Christ, this whole thing. If you look at the way people understand what other people experience in Christianity, they can see that they don't really understand the truths of the true blessings of the relationship we're called to in Christ, because they're doing it as an external thing. It's something outside of us, like going to work. I go to church on Sunday because it's a deed I need to do. I do the corporal works of mercy and giving food to the homeless by, you know, doing those things, but not really understanding how they deepen my relationship with God. And we forget, when helping other people, that's how God reveals how much he loves us and is able to work through us to affect that other person. Because we start in helping those other people, as I think I said in a previous lesson, we basically experience the way God works through us when he performs blessings. We become his hands. We become the pocketbook by which he's able to help somebody else. And the blessings of God flow into our lives and through to others. And that's when the real effectiveness of Christianity comes out. In fact, if you look at how people understand prayer, a lot of people go, well, you know, there sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, other times it's just, well, maybe. But this isn't the truth of what he wants us to understand. If we look at Mark chapter 9, verse 23, we see that Jesus says that all things are possible to the one who's believing. That's because you're abiding in Christ. That's why it's there. As he said in John 15, you can do nothing if you don't abide in me. Apart from me, you can't bear the fruit. But if you're abiding in me, you'll bear much fruit. And this is why in the 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he tells us that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith, is how we relate to him. Faith in this sense is the key term of the relationship. We have a trust in God, and therefore we experience God every moment in a unique way. It's a faith that basically closes its eyes to the weaknesses of who we are and to the situation around us, and focuses completely and totally on Jesus Christ. Not looking at the storm of the sea, but walking on the water like Peter was called to. And as long as we keep our eyes on him and keep walking toward him, we're on the water, baby. We're not worried about the storm. We're not worried about the fact that it's not ground underneath us, because we're not worried about anything but being that branch on a vine and moving forward. Because once you're able to truly get to this point, as Peter was temporarily when he got out of the boat, we'll truly understand what it's like to be led by the Holy Spirit into an ever deeper relationship and appreciation of just how wonderful Jesus our Savior is, and understand just exactly how truly amazing God is and what it truly means to experience God with us, to experience the Emmanuel that we talk about at Christmas time, and to experience the blessings of him in our lives. Because this is where everything takes us to. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, I think it's the 24th verse, it says something to the effect of, we've heard this from the beginning, that if we'll abide in the faithfulness or relationship that we have with Jesus, we'll also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the blessedness of Christianity, is having this deep, intimate relationship of abiding through faith, by faith, in Christ. It's something that lives every moment out of what proceeds from the mouth of God, as Jesus told Satan in Matthew 4, when he rebuked him for telling him just to command the stones to turn to bread. Because Jesus wasn't looking to a natural solution. He wasn't looking for bread to be produced out of stones. He was looking to the supernatural. He was looking to his relationship with God and how he obeys what he hears, whether it comes in the form of written scripture or whether it comes in the form of, like, this communication of a podcast. Basically, from the various teachings that we understand of the Christian faith that have been handed down through the ages. And this is something that deepens our relationship with him, because it points us toward completely abiding in him. It basically removes from us any presupposition that comes from understanding how poor, weak, and selfish we are as creatures. We don't look at how we're full of sin or full of failures, because we're looking more beyond the storm. We're looking beyond the sea that we're walking on. We're walking to Jesus. We're looking to him, who is the one who wants to save us out of the corruption, not just of our nature, but out of the situations that we ourselves find ourselves in life. It's not that a hurricane wipes out a coastal town and that's proof of God not caring, or that evil happens in the world. It's, in spite of all this evil, is there good? Is there blessing? Is God there in sickness, not just in health? Is God there in poor times as he is in rich times? It's a marital promise that goes deeper. Until death do us part. And even then, death doesn't part us from whom the love of God in Christ Jesus. If we really look at the full statement in Romans chapter 8, when Paul talks about all things work together for good, because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's something that you really have to believe to truly experience and to truly know, because that belief tells you what kind of relationship you have. It is a confidence of faith and trust in him, because there is love there. It's kind of the thing that hooks you up for more, is that. Because as long as you're always believing in him and always maintaining this relationship of love, you can surrender your circumstances to him and allow him, through a childlike faith, because he is your vine, to keep you as a branch and to continue to abide in you until the very end. With God, there can be no shortcoming in the fulfillment of his very promise to keep you as a vine on the branch. It is a marvelous, unalterable fact that he who proposes to us such a great transformation of who we are, from a corrupted, sinful person without the ability to change the world, to experience through prayer and our relationship with him, how he blesses us even in times of trouble. As we meditate upon these various utterances of Christ and what we understand of his teachings, we can come in contact with the love of God that is greater than anything that we can ever express or think. It's something that's mind-blowing. As Paul once wrote, what's the term? I can't remember the scripture right now. Something about how it's so unalterable. It's something you can't audibly put into words. It's beyond any comprehension. That's the terminology I'm looking for here. So we know we need not to allow ourselves to question or have doubt about this. It's about us just basically trusting in him to allow us to attain a holiness that overcomes sin, because we relate to him and we maintain a close and intimate union with him by faith, by how we are accepting every moment the grace that he imparts to us to continue to move forward. And we can see that if there's any impossibility or any falling short of this reality, it's only because we lack a certain willingness to participate with that grace. But it's something that as soon as we identify that and root that out and confess it to him as a sin, that we're able to get back on the boat and move forward. That's the purpose of confession, to help restore us back to this baptismal grace, as it's called in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we need to say this to all who are doubting the Christian faith nowadays because of the scandals within the church, that there's more to what the church has to offer than the failures of the people who fail to live it. There's a great many of people that hide in the church, just like they did with their covenant, with the covenant of Israel, when Jesus had to point out to the Pharisees and to those who were not really practicing Judaism the way it's supposed to be practiced as a relationship with God and instead of a religion, that their father was the devil. They didn't have Abraham as the security of their faith, because we have this important responsibility to cultivate this trustful disposition toward God. That's what the relationship is, beyond just that initial "I love you, Lord, save me" prayer of a sinner's prayer, because it's something that becomes a habit, because we're always thinking about him, of his ways and his works, and having this confidence that he's going to work it out, that we're not going to be pulled under or start drowning because we're walking on water. We're focused on him. We're not focused on the situation around us. And this is when we truly experience the real blessings of God. Because it's only in this type of attitude, this heart soil, if you will, of our being, that the promises of God can take root and grow up like it did in the good ground, in the parable of the seeds of the sower, who basically sowed seeds, and there were some that were thrown on the walk path that basically got trampled away. The ones that were sown among the thorns, they basically got choked out because of the conditions of life. And the good seed basically produced fruit 30, 60, 100-fold because it was in the good ground. But this is where it needs to be. This is where we need to focus ourselves, is on this relationship that goes beyond just going to church on Sunday or saying a prayer before bed. It's about how we are every moment of every day. And it's something where we really need to truly depend on Jesus to do all that he has promised and said, and to do so more than we are capable of imagining or thinking is possible. Because this is the hope that he breathes into our hearts every day and wants to wipe away any despairs that we might ever have, because it's a blessing of relationship that goes into eternity. I thank you once again for listening to this broadcast. I hope many of you will be able to consider helping with a $5 support to the Podbean link on the screen above, that you'll help support this ministry that I'm trying to put out here to encourage you to a deeper Christian life, a life that truly understands who God is as not just a one-and-done Savior, but as a every-moment spouse that you can rely on and grow in your Christian faith and deepen your relationship with him, so that when you get to heaven, it's not a surprise. You really, truly know the God that you serve. So please think about, you know, at least tossing $5 every month towards us. It's only $60 a year, and that's a very small amount that I think can be asked, because if you think about it, that's just a couple trips out to eat at a restaurant. It's not a big thing, but we are kind of looking here, or at least I am, for that kind of support, so that I can do other things to be of service to God's people. And who knows where this leads, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I thank you for giving me some time, and I hope you have a blessed day, and thank you once again for listening to this podcast.